This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst, is here, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. All right, you know we like the nonsense, the silly. You've done it with us before.
I'm already getting that energy here.
So here we go. We've been talking about two stupid things today we want you to weigh in on.
Okay.
Best road trip snack and... Okay.
Let's do one at a time.
Okay, I was going to buy him time by giving him more, but go ahead. Best road trip snack.
Best road trip snack. Like on a plane?
Anything. Road trip, really.
Road trip in a car.
Oh, in the car.
Yeah, in a car.
Oh, man. I'm going with like, it has to be something that can't distract you while you're driving.
Uh-huh.
You guys really put me on the spot here.
Yeah.
I don't even snack. That's the thing.
You don't snack?
I don't. My house is like, my pantry is depressing.
What's really? In it?
My friends come to my house and like, what is this? Yeah, it's bad.
There's no snacks. No,
we have like food. I like meals. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I don't.
So you don't want to sabotage your environment?
What do you have? Sushi and like that's probably what you have, like in vegetables and stuff.
Sushi's nuts, bro. No, I don't have sushi in the fridge, but I got like meal. I like meal prep and stuff
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe like. Bro, I don't even know.
No candy, no Sour Patch Kids, no gummies.
I'm not gonna lie.
No Starburst, no chips, no candy.
We learned something about you. Austin Rivers has any vices he may have in life does not include
I have plenty. It's just
food.
Not candy.
It's not candy. Yeah. Yeah.
Now this is actually gonna be harder. I think best bank robber movie.
Oh, the one with Denzel.
Inside Man.
So good.
I love that movie.
So good.
Yeah. I like The Town, too.
Yep.
But, after Missoula said he watches it every day for like 2 years, I was like, I have to change.
You got to do something.
I went the other way. Yeah. No, I like the one with Denzel in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Good one. Nice. All right. Let's talk about the NBA. Last night, obviously, the Cavs have a massive comeback against the Celtics.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to take too much out of it from the Celtics' perspective.
Yeah.
But the Cavs... Are they the second best team in the East?
I believe they're not. they're not. But I think they're talented, man. They got that win last night without Donovan Mitchell, which is really impressive. You know, Dean Wade had a career game, 20 points in the fourth quarter. You know, there is some concerns when we talk about Boston and closing games in the playoffs. We saw it in previous years. That's the only thing I can take away from it is just sometimes mentally they can take their foot off the pedal. I think they saw Donovan Mitchell out last night. They got a lead and they just completely just collapsed. But, you know, they were going to lose at some point. They haven't lost in a month. They are the best team in the NBA right now, along with Denver. You know, you could take your pick, but I think Milwaukee is the team in the East to contend and compete against them.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee's won six in a row, and we'll get to that in a second. Your pop's doing his thing, but curious to get your perspective on what happened with the Phoenix Suns, because you brought up the Denver Nuggets being one of the best teams in the league. Well, the Phoenix Suns won the game in overtime on the road in Denver, which
big
is
game.
Not an easy environment
no,
to
no,
play in,
not at all.
Especially when you're at altitude. I mean, they had a big lead, blew it in the fourth quarter, and then found a way to close the show, the two-man game, Kevin Durant, Grayson Allen. What are you seeing from the Phoenix Suns, and can they grow into true title contenders in the West?
They're scary. You know, Devin and Kevin have so much firepower. I mean, you saw Kevin last night, man. We always talk about LeBron and Steph and their longevity, and people kind of skip over KD.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in his upper 30s, and he's still just putting it on. Carried that team last night, 8 points in overtime. Obviously hit the big three to go in overtime. They got a decent team. You got Devin, Kevin. They got good role players around them. Grayson Allen's having a career year. Royce O'Neal's been a good pickup for them. Nurkic is a guy inside that at least can bang with Jokic and at least has size to, you know, hold him up in the post. But they're 12th in offensive rating. You know, there's like flags there, red flags there. You're just like, why is this the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it. Would you want to play that team in a 7-game series? You know, first round, second round, because they're essentially possibly a play-in team at this point.
Yeah.
They're a game and a half right now in front of being in the play-in with the Lakers and Warriors trying to pick up steam. So,
yeah. You
know, they're dangerous. That's what I'll say. I don't know if they're a title-contending team as of yet. They could be, but they're a dangerous team. They're one of those teams. They're not a team that you want to play first round, second round, because anything can happen with those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, as CeCe mentioned, we of course have to ask you about the Bucks. There was a lot of noise surrounding Milwaukee. They win six in a row. It feels like that's tempered a little bit.
Yeah.
What was the catalyst for this change that we're seeing with Milwaukee?
I mean, honestly, I think it's sometimes the media. You know, we gave them a chip. You know, they start playing with a little. You saw last game, Bobby Portis Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Super fired up. You know, they've been hearing the noise. Similar to kind of like, this kind of reminded me with the Clippers. When James got there and they lost like six or seven in a row, and it felt like every single loss that happened, the world just kept throwing more and more pressure and negativity on them. And suddenly they went like 25-5 over their next 30 games, right? Mm-hmm. We're starting to see this with Milwaukee. They're starting to find their groove. It was going to take time. You know, when you make a big change like that, a coaching change midseason with a title contending team, that's usually rare, right? Especially for a team that was like, what, they're like 30-13 before they made that move.
Mm-hmm.
So you usually don't see those type of moves being made just due to the fact that when you bring in a new coach, you got new schemes offensively, defensively, learning how to coach guys, learning how to get through to guys, and then most importantly, getting them to buy in. But even in their losses, you're seeing them, you know, Giannis is like, we're getting better. We're you know, you're positive things were coming out of it. And now you're seeing the win streak. You know, the big win in Minnesota, they went and whooped Philly, which I know felt good for my pops. I know they didn't have Joel Embiid, but still, you know, I know that felt good. And then obviously the last win versus the Clippers, and then they got a big one tonight. So they are the team, I believe, in the East that can contend and compete against Boston in a seven-game series. I'll throw the Knicks in there, too, if they're fully healthy. But right now, that's not the case. So Milwaukee's got it going right now. I think they could do something.
All right, Austin Rivers said about 10 things there I want to follow up on. First of all, as a Heat fan, they always said about Chris Bosh, not the best player, the most important player. I think Milwaukee's still without their most important player in Chris Middleton. I don't think he's the best player. I just think there's, in those moments.
You're actually right. Yeah, he's
actually. Actually, I'm that dumb that it's actually.
No. You're right, though, bro. You're right, man. Key is the X factor. When we talk about that championship run that they had, people always talk about Drew, you know, and Giannis, rightfully so. But Chris was brilliant in that playoff run, and he was more so in the clutch. You know, he makes big shots. Now that they have Dame, that'll definitely alleviate pressure on Giannis. But, you know, I think Chris is a guy, when he gets 15 to 20, it really makes a difference. It opens up the floor. It provides spacing for Dame and Giannis to work. And it now, instead of it being a duo, it's a trio. You know, they have that big three, which I think everybody's hoping they can have again. So, you know, they need Chris back. And they need Chris to be himself, you know, for them to really have a chance of beating a team like Boston, who has guys like Derek White, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, other than their duo. So they're going to need him.
Austin, since the All-Star break, the Dallas Mavs have been hustling backwards. They've lost five of their last six. And if people are really curious about the tandem of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and whether or not they'd be able to coexist long-term, what do you make of that situation in Dallas?
Man, and
what are the stakes for the second half of this season long-term?
Listen, I like their team. I just don't think they're good enough to contend and beat any of the top teams in the West. I really don't. They don't have any interior size. I think P.J. Washington was a good addition. They got Grant Williams out of there. They got better. But I don't – Derek Lively's good. He's good, but he's a rookie. He's still light, and he's, you know, he's skinny. They don't have any size. The ball is still heavily dominant through Luka and Kyrie, two guards kind of shooting most of their shots. They don't have any perimeter defense that starts. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a defender, really. Obviously, Kyrie and Luka aren't defenders. You know, they bring in the kid, was it Josh Green?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who can play a little defense. But I just don't like their team as a whole in terms of together competing or contending. The only reason people even consider them is because we saw Luka like single-handedly go on a run a couple years ago when he went all the way to the conference finals.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's probably a top three player in the NBA. So I think people just have faith in them. But I don't know about that duo long term. I really don't, yeah.
So, no. I mean, if they continue to go in the direction that they're trending right now, could you see a world where the front office for the Dallas Mavericks decides to move on from Kyrie Irving or some other major pieces?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I could see Kyrie going somewhere else. You know, just due to the fact that Luka needs a better supporting cast around him in terms of what fits his skills. When you talk about, like, the best players in the league and, like, what's around him, whether it's Shea, you talk about Anthony Edwards, all these young players that like have a perfect team around them. You know, Luka doesn't have that. You know, look at Anthony Edwards' team. You got Jaden McDaniels, a defender. Mike Conley, a solid point guard.
Rudy Gobert,
good defender. Yeah. Carl Towns, Naz Reid up the bench. Like, bro, they're loaded, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, where Luka is like going out there having to make Luka magic every single night just for them to be competitive. They got to improve their roster.
Yeah, you just brought up a much bigger offseason issue, though. Because he becomes LeBron with the Cavs. You can't figure the first time. You can't figure out the right way of surrounding
him. Right, yeah.
And then what happens is he's dissatisfied with the organization and the way in which they've surrounded him and would have to go elsewhere. That we're way ahead of ourselves on that. But yeah, that's where the, like, there's two interesting trends that people are making comparisons to. I'll make that one. And a lot of people are now saying Oklahoma City reminds them of the Warriors before they were the Warriors as we know them. You know, the 2013-14, 14-15 Warriors.
Yeah.
The Gordon Hayward move is interesting because it's like Iguodala kind of off the bench. Yeah. There's a lot of
comps. I like that comp.
Yeah.
I like, look at you.
Right, he's deep in his bag.
I'm just saying.
But you know what, though? I go back to the decision that the Dallas Mavericks made not to extend Jalen Brunson when they had a chance to do it for next to nothing.
Especially for $50 million or whatever it was.
But he wouldn't have been the same player, though. The player he is now would not have happened then.
I don't know, though. I saw that playoff series against the Utah Jazz where Jalen Brunson carried him because Luka Doncic was hurt.
Yeah, he was cooking that series. I don't think anybody thought Brunson was going to be what he is right now. I mean, 27 points per game, you know. We are now having conversations whether he's a superstar, you know, considering what type of year he's had. And then obviously the Knicks are in a team that when they get fully healthy with the draft picks that they have, we talk about foreseeable future. The Knicks are in a position to be contending not only this year, but for the next 2-3 years.
Let's nail down on that, because has that perception changed about who the New York Knicks are? Because
absolutely.
Before, it felt like it was radioactive in terms of free agent destinations. Yeah. Like they could find nobody to
nobody wanted to go
there. When they cleared all of that cap space by trading Kristaps Porzingis, they had room for two max salary players.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted their money.
Yep.
And they had to sign a bunch of guys, including Julius Randle, to team-friendly deals with player options after the second or third year. Has that now shifted
in terms
of what we've seen from the New York Knicks the past couple of years?
It has to, because they have all the assets there now. When you talk about a superstar in the open market, they look at teams, all right, who am I going to be running with? They have nothing but good role players. Their team is full of them. DiVincenzo is having a great year with the Knicks. OG, obviously you have Randle and Brunson. They have a variety of Josh Hart. The list just keeps going on, man. They have a variety of guys. And then they picked up Burks, Bogdanovich. They have a variety of pieces. Obviously they had a tough loss last night, but they didn't have any of their guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team now that looks very, you know, fitting for a superstar to look at them and be like, oh, that team looks interesting. You know
okay,
what I mean?
So who's the superstar that you can see? Pull it out your NBA crystal ball for NBA summer. Who's the superstar?
Well, everybody knows he's in Cleveland.
He's in Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell.
You come on now.
Makes
you know.
No sense.
Yeah, does it?
It makes sense for his life.
Yeah.
And I love Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
You want to put another small guard next to Jalen Brunson?
Well, they wouldn't be the best defensively. But, you know, offensively, they would be brilliant with him and Donovan Mitchell next to each other. I'm just trying to think of even other superstars that are going to be on the market right now.
Or that might want to ask out. Yeah, guys,
yeah. But you get, because you never know. In today's NBA, someone can ask out next week. But
but
this is, you know, the point is the Knicks are now in a position where people are now talking about them in a positive.
Okay.
I hate saying this because they did me dirty, but we're not going to go into that. No, they know. Tibbs and them know how they did me, man. But that's we'll save that for another time. But now they have a team that's headed in this direction where we talk about the Knicks contending now, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we've never had these conversations with them. It's always been, like you said, the opposite, where every time we talk about the Knicks, it's, why can't they land a superstar?
Right.
Who's going to play there? Blah, blah, blah. Well, now they got a bunch of assets.
Do we have time for one more, Evan?
It's not up to me.
The orchestra here.
Go ahead.
Quickly, we've been talking about teams competing with the Boston Celtics in the East. If they don't get it done this year, what's the vulnerability or obstacle in their way that you think that causes them to not win a title?
Themselves. You know, we saw it even last night. I know it's just one game, but sometimes we see this like thing where they take their foot off the pedal. It's like we saw it last year when Miami just got to them mentally. Tatum's got to be great. You know, he talked about it in that interview with Malika. He said, I want to be the face of the league. Well, to be the face of the league, you got to go win championships. You got to close
you can't lose when you're up 22 with 9 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and again, you know, they haven't lost in a month, so I'll give them the benefit of doubt last night. But we all know we're going to be judging that team in the playoffs. You know, Missoula's got a lot of pressure on them as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't go to the finals, who knows what type of changes they're going to be making there. I always actually thought before my father took that Bucks job, I thought he was going to – if that didn't work out in Boston, I thought that was a team he would head back and coach again. But obviously he's in Milwaukee now. But that Boston team, they're in a situation where it's finals, championship, or bust. That's a hell of a position to be in.
You had to drop that nugget after you knew we were over time that Doc Rivers was going to be the coach of the
Celtics. Oh, no. I didn't know that. I'm saying I always had a – look at you. I'm not even going to
Austin Rivers is amazing with us always. You'll see him on Get Up and, of course, First Take as well. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We have an additional update now on the aforementioned Russell Wilson, courtesy of Adam Schefter, who you hear with us every Tuesday at 8:05 a.m. Eastern Time, brought to us by BetterHelp. Schefter just tweeted moments ago, before free agency begins next week, the Broncos have given soon-to-be-released quarterback Russell Wilson permission to immediately begin speaking and meeting with other teams in their home cities. Per sources, Wilson's free agency begins now. As someone that is a Russell Wilson fan, I love this for him.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think this should be allowed with the NFL, though. You can't just make up free agency. You're not actually allowed to do this stuff. I don't understand how the rules would be allowed to be like, okay, you can just talk. We're going to release you anyway. But you're not technically released. You can't do this in any other sport.
But how is this any different than giving a player permission to seek a trade?
Well, because the fact that isn't there a no tampering period that we're in right now?
Yeah, but I mean, you can give a play if a player is under contract with you. Like, for instance, L'Jarius Sneed from the Kansas City Chiefs. They put the franchise tag on him, but they gave him permission to seek a trade.
Okay,
How would this be any different?
You're right. Fair comeback. I stand corrected. Well done.
Okay.
So that's a fair comeback. Yeah. I have no retort to that. You are right. It is basically the same thing, other than team compensation.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So okay, in this case, he's going to call teams. Are teams going to pick up the calls? And if so, who?
Oh, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers will probably pick up the call.
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Vikings should pick up the call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other teams that would pick up the call if Russ were to reach out. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people will ask the question, Seattle. I just don't think that would be the right way to go. If they're turning the page as a franchise, I don't think you want to go back with your ex, especially – when you've shown that you can do as good with the next. So I just think, you know, it's going to be limited in scope. There aren't going to be a whole lot of teams that are going to be beating down Russell Wilson's door, even though he might have them on their preferred destination. Maybe the Las Vegas Raiders should pick up the call.
That's the one I was going to throw
if
out
he
there.
Reaches out. But again, I don't think Russell Wilson is their first option, right? And if you're Russ, knowing what the salary constraints are going to be, do you really want to put yourself in a situation where you are an option and not a priority for a team moving forward?
But what landing spot for him is he going to be the priority? Because every place you mentioned, it's still going to be a competition in some way.
Well, I guess that's the problem with Russ starting his free agent tour now. At this point, all of these other teams have bigger fish that they're trying to fry. There are other quarterbacks that they believe are better options that they're going after. Now, they're not going to all land the quarterback that's at the top of their wish list. And so Russell Wilson then would become, you know, I don't even want to say priority, but a more viable option at that stage of it. It's not going to happen fast for Russell Wilson, which is probably the scary part. And if it doesn't happen quickly, you wonder what are his prospects for being a starting quarterback going into training camp next summer.
Yeah, I just keep looking around. He wants to be a starter, and you obviously can make the argument that he should. But other than maybe Minnesota, if Kirk Cousins moves on, I don't know any situation that he's going to parachute into where he's not going to have to compete for the job in some way.
So
right?
Maybe if you're Russell Wilson, the best you can hope for in terms of guaranteeing yourself a crack at a starting job is being a bridge quarterback for somebody that's going to take a QB at the top of this year's draft. Like if you're Russell Wilson, why should you exclude teams like the Chicago Bears or the New England Patriots or the Washington Commanders? Why should you cross those teams off the list? It doesn't make sense. Like, if you're Russell Wilson, you want to reach out to those teams too, because while you're getting those young quarterbacks ready to play in the NFL, you have an opportunity to rebuild your value. You know you're not going to be the long-term option there. Guess what? You're going to whatever team on a one-year proposition. It is going to be a one-year deal at the veteran minimum. All you're asking for is an opportunity to show what you got. Mm-hmm. And when the franchise is poised to take a QB at the top of the draft, they want to surround them with the requisite talent that it takes for that young quarterback to be successful. If you're Russ, take advantage of those pieces that team puts in place. And that's why I think these teams that are in position to draft a quarterback in the first round should be teams that Russell Wilson has high on his list as people that he would want to call.
As long as we're walking down that path, I will make one last ditch effort here. This is a message to the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. This is what you should do. You should be the first call to Russell Wilson. You need to call him and explain to him, you're not going to start 17 games. You may not even start 7 games. We need to buy Bryce Young a little bit more time. It should have been done last year, like you're suggesting with some of the quarterbacks this year, but it's a year too late in some people's eyes. We have Dave Canales, who you worked with in Seattle. You know him well. You know his system. Russ, you will not be the starter for 17 games. If you literally have the number one QB rating in the entire league and you have 21 touchdowns through 7 games and no picks, this guy is still going to be the starter. We need to bring in our Kurt Warner for Eli Manning. If this is where Russell Wilson needs to go, if there needs to be a path, everyone wins here. Because what happens is he has a chance to rebuild his value. There will be, unfortunately, a quarterback that gets hurt, i.e. Deshaun Watson a year ago with Cleveland. There will be a team that is not satisfied with their quarterback. And somebody will provide Carolina some ounce of value for him, and he will buy Bryce Young time. Carolina is where he should go. If he has to be a bridge guy and he's not a starter day one, that's the scenario.
But aren't you worried at all about Bryce Young mentally feeling like he was demoted and how that could impact his growth?
Are you comfortable with him now? Not demoted?
I get why Carolina would want to do that move. Like, I guess in the hypothetical you're outlining, but if you're Russell Wilson, what's in Carolina that would be attractive to you?
Recouping value. Because it's a coach that you know, that you worked with before, that if you believe your individual numbers could be better there and you could show up better there than you would anywhere else.
But why would you think you can show up better there than anyone else with what Carolina Panthers have on their roster? I'm trying to get to that part of it.
Right. So why would you think
coaches,
you could be great?
Coaches is great, but you got to have players around
you. I understand.
You.
But I don't have belief in any of the three scenarios atop this year's draft that he's going to be unbelievable.
Well, the Washington Commanders have two pretty damn good receivers and a good running game. Like they got really good receivers. They got Brian Robinson Jr. as a running back. They got Antonio Gibson as a running back. They've got Terry McLaurin, and you got Jahan Dotson. You got good receivers. What is there in Carolina? You got a bad offensive line, no difference makers at any of the skill position players. I mean, you got Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders.
There's an opportunity to be yourself.
That's what we're working with.
He could be himself, and maybe that's exciting for him. I could actually really be me there, because a guy who knows me, who can empower me to be me, and I could show everybody what I can do. This is under the premise that he cannot walk into like Minnesota if and potentially when they lose Kirk Cousins. If I'm him, I am like literally sleeping outside the facility saying, please give me Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
No doubt.
I mean, I will do, you don't even have to pay me. Yeah. Like literally don't, I'll pay you, I'll, you pay me 1.2, I'll make a $1.2 million donation to your charity. I don't care. That's where I'd want to go. But when I'm saying Carolina, under the premise of a bridge quarterback scenario.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to make this about the Carolina Panthers, but I do like the idea of comparing him to Kurt Warner, because remember, Kurt Warner, after that stop with the New York Giants, went on to play for the Arizona Cardinals, and he played in a Super Bowl.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So like that was him in a lot of ways cementing a Hall of Fame legacy. You have an opportunity to do that if you're Russ, even though the next place that you go to might just be a way station until you get to your preferred destination. Like, this is a situation where beggars can't be choosers. And Russ has to understand that, and he's got to send a message to the rest of the NFL world that he's aware of where he's at this stage in his career.
Respect it or check it. We'll do that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for a little game of Respect It or Check It here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Super Bowl champion Chris Canty.
Hello.
And Evan Cohen. I almost said Super Bowl champion. Evan Cohen. Although if you count all his rings with the Patriots, some multiple
count all my rings with every team. Whoever wins that year, I'm a fan of.
That's true.
Go Chiefs.
Well, first one, guys, Respect It or Check It. Mike Tomlin can fix Justin Fields.
Oh, I'm going to respect it just because I'll give Tomlin the benefit of the doubt. I'll give Fields the benefit of the doubt. And by saying that, I'm sliding the dysfunction that has been the Chicago Bears organization. They haven't done a great job of being able to develop their quarterbacks. The four guys they took in the first round since 1999, absolutely abysmal in terms of what the franchise did in surrounding them with talent. I mean, I just think about how bad the Bears were this year, all the dysfunction. How they moved on from their defensive coordinator and moved on from one of their coaches on the offensive side of the ball under some really strange circumstances. I just think that's a lot for any quarterback to try to process while trying to learn the NFL game. So I'm going to respect Mike Tomlin being able to help Justin Fields develop.
I believe if anyone could help, it's him. And I'm not writing Justin Fields off necessarily, but I'm going to check it for this reason. I have to go back to the stat that we've navigated for months now on our show. Failed, quote-unquote, failed first-round quarterbacks or less-than-successful first-round quarterbacks that go to a second team don't usually do well. Now, you can bring up Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was better in Cleveland than Justin Fields was in Chicago, and Baker Mayfield is awesome on his fourth team, not a second team. Right, I'm not saying Justin Fields needs to be cut twice more. I'm just saying that this would be something that we don't normally see, so I'm checking it.
This is an interesting one. Outside of CMC, Christian McCaffrey, the running back position is dead. Respect it or check it?
I'll just say check it, but it's because paying the running back position is dead.
Yes.
The usage of running backs is smart and efficient. The payment of the running back is not smart nor efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you look at the guys that lead the league in touches, it's a who's who, a running back. So I'm going to check it. I don't think the running back position is dead. I just think that teams look at it and say, rather than paying one guy $10 million, I'd rather play three guys at running back $3 million each. Mm-hmm. And we can find value in doing it that way. I think the nature of the position, the wear and tear, doesn't lend itself to those kind of guys getting big money contracts.
Respect it or check it here on Unsportsmanlike. Kirk Cousins could lead a team to the Super Bowl.
I respect it.
I respect it too. I think he could do it.
I mean, I got to respect it because we saw Nick Foles win a Super Bowl, right?
We also saw Jared Goff's a really good player. Jared Goff was in a Super Bowl and one win away from another Super Bowl. I'm not saying that to disrespect Jared Goff or anyone else. I'm saying, if I told you Kirk Cousins kind of had Jared Goff-level success and talent, that's not like some crazy statement.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. So, I mean, I think he can do it, although him making top-of-the-market money makes the margin of error for the coach and for the general manager razor thin. So I think that's really what it comes down to. How much money you're going to pay Kirk Cousins will determine how confident I am that Kirk could actually get it done.
So from a talent standpoint, and as long as he's healthy, we think we respect it as a
respect
show.
It.
Yeah.
Respect yeah. it.
Yeah. I would too.
Oh, well, can I say one thing? I'm sorry.
Yes.
As long as he's not in the AFC.
Because of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, just stay away from Mahomes.
Just be in the NFC and you're good.
Yeah, go to stay in the NFC.
That's fair. Respect it or check it. our very own Javonte Lawrence could get away with robbing a bank.
Check it. No shot that Javonte is going to do it.
Check it.
He said he was a track guy, long distances back in the day. Well, those days are long gone. There's no chance that Javonte could plan and execute a bank robbery.
He's also proven in the 6 months that at least I've known him to be a nice, sweet guy. Like,
which is exactly why he could get away with it.
Oh.
No one would ever suspect that it was him. If you lined up every person who worked on our show, I think he'd be picked last as a suspect.
That's true, actually.
They'd who would like, be picked first?
Like, Javonte is so steady. He's sweet. Like, he would get away with it.
See, Pat portrays himself as, like, not a bad guy, but
a
like
a tough guy.
A tough guy. And I actually think Pat is deep down real sweet, too. I actually think Nuno, I think Nuno is comes off sweet, but wants to be more of the bad guy behind the scenes a little bit.
I come off sweet? That's so nice of you to say.
I said you want to come off sweet.
I think he comes off sweet. I think Nuno comes off sweet.
You think he comes off sweet?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I don't think he cares about being a nice guy.
That doesn't mean he's not one, though.
No, that's fair.
Maybe it's just you, Canty. And sometimes you, Evan.
Next one.
Okay, next one. Respect it or check it. Ranch corn nuts are the GOAT road trip snack.
Oh, check it. No, it's not. It's combos for me, followed up by the combination of Black Forest gummy bears with Sour Patch Kids. And, of course, I've got to go with my pineapple-flavored Fanta soda.
I'm going to check it, but I'm also going to have respect to the idea that you have put out there that corn ranch-flavored corn nuts and root beer could be great. I love root beer. Cream soda as well. Dr. Brown's cream soda, great. I'm 100. So I'm not going to hate on that because I've never had that.
Okay.
I love yours. I don't know about the pineapple, but I love combos.
The pineapple soda is phenomenal.
Butter pretzels. Put the butter pretzels in the passenger seat and just chomp away. Oh, God, amazing.
Sounds boring.
Hey,
sounds
no,
amazing.
No flavor, no pizzazz.
Butter is the flavor.
Butter's not a flavor.
Here comes the new flavor in your
no,
ear.
No, butter's not a flavor.
Where do you think flavor comes from on food?
No, I'm just saying.
Like ranch is a flavor. Cheddar cheese is a flavor.
That's a flavor.
Pepperoni
like, I'm not saying that butter doesn't add flavor. That's not what I'm saying, Pat. I mean, don't be Captain Literal Man. What I'm saying is when I go to the store and I'm getting a snack, putting butter-flavored whatever is not going to excite me about buying that snack.
Really?
Yeah, if you see popcorn and it's like salted caramel, white cheddar, or butter, you're going for the first two rather than the butter. It's so boring.
I'm with Pat on this, who I guess is with me. I think butter is like the number one flavor you want. Butter on anything is amazing. Butter is just, I mean, it's so bad for you, it's great.
Maybe butter's our favorite food.
I just put out there, Adam Co Radio on Twitter, is butter a flavor? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let us know. Keep us updated on that one. Last one, boys. Respect it or check it. It would be
salt a flavor.
It would be more fun to go to the moon than it would be to climb Mount Everest.
Check it. Check. I mean, I don't want to do either one of them. Like, how do I opt out of it? Is there a
sorry, not an option.
You got to respect it or check it. More fun to go to the moon than it is to climb Mount Everest.
Check it. I haven't lost anything in space on the moon. So, I mean, I feel like I got a better chance at being able to survive if things go terribly wrong actually being on Earth than actually being in space.
Can I just ask a follow-up? Where do they have better Wi-Fi? Like, can I listen to the Hoop Collective on Mount Everest?
You could download it before you go.
That's true. What about in space? Do we know?
You download it before you go.
Do Wendy, Von Temps, and McMahon come in space?
I think that there is some sort of a Wi-Fi setup because don't people who have been to space do
the
interviews,
FaceTime,
like a FaceTime?
Yeah,
in space it is! I'm going to space!
I feel like you'd have bigger concerns on Everest than in space than, you know, what's going on with the heat that day.
Yeah, but guess
what?
If I'm on Everest and I don't like the way things are going, I can turn around and walk back. You ain't walking back from the moon, bro. It's not happening.
Yeah, but when you're going to the moon, you're sitting in a seat and you're strapped in. There are physical things that happen to you when you go to space. They prepare you for that.
Sure.
But I'm not having to climb a mountain. I'm just chilling,
so you're actively,
looking out the window.
Actively doing something versus passive? Yeah. I'm just saying, like, of all the things that could go wrong in space versus of all the things that could go wrong on Everest, I feel like I got more ways out when I'm climbing a mountain than I do in space.
But you have to camp on Everest. You have to camp on the mountain, and you get to just hang out in the spaceship in space.
We all concluded,
Becky. It's not a luxury hotel. You know that, right? It ain't like you say you go on a space. The spaceship ain't the Four Seasons.
No,
it's not.
Well, maybe I could go like hitch a ride with Jeff Bezos or something. He'll have like the Four Seasons.
Hitch a ride. What do you think? It's like an Uber to space or something?
That's how he's trying to make it.
We all concluded back here it'd be better to go to the moon because if something goes really wrong, at least you're going quick if you're headed to the moon. On Everest, you're sitting there shivering. Oh, it's cold. It's not a great time.
Totally. Everest has, I have no interest
Would
in
you
that.
Rather rob a bank, climb Everest, or go to the moon?
Rob a bank.
Moon.
Kind of lean towards robbing
the bank. I would say rob the bank because I could turn in everybody that I was with and get out of the whole deal.
What a teammate.
It's about me. At that point, it's about me.
If we get away with it? Huh? Then we got money.
But it's a win.
Then we'll call in radio shows like we had earlier today when a bank
I know I'm going to get away either way. Either I'm snitching on y'all or I'm going to get the money. Either way, I'm cool.
Don't forget, snitches get stitches.
Well, how you going to give me stitches? You in jail.
I got people.
Oh, wow.
See, she's
my wife.
Someone's giving you
it's
stitches.
It's not an aesthetic. It's a way of life.
Listen,
my wife.
I have an outside line, okay? I can call people.
Wow. I'm officially afraid of her. I'm not going to lie. I'm not afraid of anybody at True Green because they've helped my home. It looks so much better because of them, thankfully. You just mow and water your lawn, and True Green does the rest. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank or robbing it, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners. I'm one of them for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. All you're doing is setting them up to come over to your home. Think about it. The weather is warm. You're having people over your home. And then all of a sudden, you're going to go there and they're like, wait, why is your lawn all brown? Why is it not manicured properly? Why is it not beautiful? True Green is the company to do that. TrueGreen.com, your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so the Boston Celtics let me down. I had them laying 6.5 last night, and I had the under on the team point total, which was like 224.5. And we would have been fine. We would have checked both boxes had they just sealed the deal and held on to, a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. Thanks, Dean Wade. Really appreciate you doing that, buddy. But we're going to go back to the association tonight. Why? Because we have the LA Clippers visiting the Houston Rockets. Now, it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Rockets. They had Wemby and the Spurs last night. And the L.A. Clippers coming off of a disappointing loss, no Giannis, to the Milwaukee Bucks on Monday night. Got to think the Clippers get back on the horse tonight. So we're going to go with the L.A. Clippers laying the 4.5. And we're going to take James Harden total points and rebounds over 23.5. That pays out at plus 182.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Well, each and every day we give you quirky, weird, different kind of moments from in and around sports with the unsportsmanlike moments of the day. I also have something from the Cavs and the Celtics game.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different than maybe what you had. Joey Chestnut was in the mix. The competitive eater. And Joey Chestnut went to work with 39 pierogies eaten in 2 minutes at halftime. Now, we love Cleveland, amazing sports town. Our social and digital guy, Rob Lorenzo, is from Cleveland. Isn't pierogi a Pittsburgh thing? Or am I wrong on that? What is the Cleveland Delta? Like, I'm not surprised that he was able to do that, but if you're going to have Joey Chestnut at your game, don't you want to do your hometown food?
Okay, I guess so, but I may be a little bit ignorant to this. What is a pierogi?
It's like a potato dumpling kind of thing, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yes. I'm getting an actual definition here.
So is it like gnocchi?
Is it kind of like a gnocchi? It's a filled dumpling, and it's cooked in boiling water.
Okay. So it's a dumpling.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a... But it's just shaped a little differently. Gotcha, but yeah, it's a dumpling. Gotcha.
What would be the Cleveland food, though?
Yeah, what is a Cleveland food, Rob?
We don't have a Rob Mike. We just have a Rob Cam.
Yeah, but what is a Cleveland food?
I don't know, but I always thought pierogi...
Pierogi is?
Pierogi? Oh, okay.
But didn't you... When you hear pierogi, don't you think Pittsburgh? No? Am I wrong on that? I don't know. I think
Red Hook in Brooklyn, but that's just me.
What do you think? Like, so what would be a St. Louis? Like, if you had...
Toasted ravioli.
That's St. Louis?
Toasted ravs are St. Louis. Gooey butter cake. Gooey pork steaks.
Outstanding.
So Joey Chestnut goes to a Cardinals game. Seventh inning stretch. They want him to do a quick competition. What is he doing?
Toasted ravioli, because that's very easy and snackable. He could mow through some of those. I bet he could do 100.
Yeah.
How many? 60 plus?
He did 39. He did 39 pierogies in 2 minutes at halftime. Well, that game had a lot going on.
Yeah.
There was a 22-point comeback with the Cavs against the Celtics. You had Jason and Travis Kelce bobblehead days there. They were both there. Shaq on the TNT set was given the bobblehead by Adam Lefkoe, and he broke it just by holding it. And then you had Joey Chestnut at halftime. Okay, now, next one here.
Wait.
Oh.
What could you guys hammer food-wise? Like, if you had to eat 39 of something at a halftime, what could you eat?
Oh, the plain glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme.
39 of them?
Yeah, I would try for it.
Really?
I don't know if I'd be able to accomplish it, but I would go for it.
Wow.
I would love to go for it.
Stop. As the producer of the show, we're not doing that anymore. Because you guys, and this time it's not Evan, but like, put this stuff out there like, I can do this, I can do that.
And then you never do it.
No,
we came to an agreement on the waffles thing. We're going to do it for National Waffle Day.
He said this time, not me. I got to say it.
In August. We said we were going to do this in August, didn't we?
I told Megan Judge, who's our great marketing and promotions person, when I saw her the other day, I said, yeah, August 24th or 23rd is National Waffle Day.
Yeah,
I said,
National
we'll
Waffle Day.
How many did you claim you could eat?
I don't know, but I claimed...
I think he said like 16.
I thought it was
16. The show.
Yeah.
He said like 16.
You said that. I didn't say that.
You said like
16. Don't put that on me.
No, you did.
Four waffles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you
said that, CC. I'll go for it. Four waffles an hour.
4 an hour, you could do that for sure.
I absolutely feel like I could
beat you in a 40-yard dash.
I'm not talking about like the waffles with the homemade waffle machine. We're talking about the Lego My Ego Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle size waffles.
So like,
no.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not what we were
smaller.
Talking about at all.
We're talking IHOP.
We're talking about Waffle House.
It's still smaller than the waffle that you get out of a waffle iron.
When's the last time you went to Waffle House? Those waffles are huge.
Yeah, they are pretty big.
To be fair, the challenges that have been thrown out there, I said 40-yard dash, CC said pancakes, you said anything athletic, basically, the half marathons, which you've done, and 75 hard.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those are the challenges we put out there that we have not yet followed up on.
We got to take care of the waffles one, though, because I'm sick of Pat and Nuno. We got to take care of the waffles one in August. That has to happen.
Okay, and then to answer Pat's question, I think I almost did this unintentionally last week. I was with Rob, actually. I think shrimp dumplings. I must have had about 100 of them in about 3 seconds. So shrimp dumplings I could destroy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. You?
I think I might have to go back to our conversation on my St. Louis roots. Toasted ravioli, the limit does not exist when I'm around those.
Okay.
I could eat a ton of them.
Also chicken wings. Yeah, wings I could do. We have to get to this. Speaking of wings, obviously Buffalo. So there's a controversy around Josh Allen. We always talk Josh Allen, right? So Josh Allen is dating the actress and singer Hailee Steinfeld.
Right.
And they were in Paris, and TMZ caught them kind of getting out of a car, and he just like ran quickly ahead of her. And everyone's like, what kind of boyfriend is he? Why is he not letting her out of the car first and like guiding her out of the car and being a gentleman? Well, he put out on Twitter the reason why he rushed out in front of her. My pants ripped at dinner. Didn't want cheeks out. I love Paris. So the reason that he was like, hey, I need to be covered up here. I need somebody behind. I need to play quarterback and I need a fullback right behind me instead of being the offensive lineman like he should be in that spot for his significant other was because of the fact that his pants split at dinner.
Can't have cheeks out when there's cameras. You know, he knows that everyone's going to get a photo of that.
Not at all.
What is the proper way of going about this? Like if you're with your significant other, you have to open the door for them and let them go first, all that kind of stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, if this happened and you didn't know the pants out thing and you just saw the video, you would question Josh Allen? Like, you're getting out of the car first? You're not.
I would assume that there's a reason why. I wouldn't just think that he was going to sprint out of the car and leave her to deal with the paparazzi.
Yeah, decorum matters, actually. Yeah. But that goes to the wind. Caution goes to the wind anytime you have a wardrobe malfunction. I actually had this happen to me at my wedding where it got time to get the garter and do that whole bit. I tried to get down on one knee, split the groin of my pants.
At your wedding?
At my wedding, with everybody circling around me. Had to get out of there as quickly as I could because outside of my wife, nobody wants to see that. And go to the back holding area, which then my wedding planner, Brianne, who's great, she's in Chicago, she sewed up the pants so I could get through the rest of the reception.
Come on.
Yes, it was awesome.
That's an incredible story.
It's awesome.
And I bet that soup was not cheap. That dog's was not
cheap.
The
visual of my wedding planner sewing up the pants, though.
The groin of your pants.
Look real suspect after I got married.
Greeny
real
coming suspect. Up next. We're on to Thursday. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.